the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, the poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your countless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Chant the introit.
Rejoice in the Lord, always. Again I will say, rejoice.
I will hope continually, and will praise you, yes, more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak knees and make firm the feeble hands. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall attain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 146 responsively, whole verse by whole verse.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. Trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the Hallelujah and verse.
Rejoice in the Lord, again I say rejoice.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who was least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord.
That's the Nicene Creed on page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead
Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This week, as we continue on in Advent, Jesus poses an interesting question. What then did you go out to see? This question is posed to the crowds concerning John in his ministry. Jesus is inquiring on what exactly the crowds who followed him saw in John the Baptist in the wilderness. It begins like this. John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, and he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." The significance of this statement by Jesus would not be lost on the prophet John. John knows very well that this is something of a sign given by the prophet Isaiah regarding the coming of the Messiah, which says, "The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." This being a suitable enough answer for John's disciples and his followers, they take their leave of Jesus. But as always, though, Jesus has a crowd following around him. And he takes time to explain to them what is going on and gives an opportunity to teach on John the Baptist in his ministry. Jesus employs something of a rhetorical questioning in which the answer that should be prompted is no. He asks three separate times, "What then did you go out to see?" Jesus is asking the people what drew them to the wilderness to listen to John. First, Jesus asks them, "What then did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" What does it mean to be a reed shaken by the wind? To be a reed shaken by the wind is to be someone who sways along with whatever is flowing around at the time. If the culture and times and people say to believe and act a certain way, then that is what you do, until the wind blows a different direction and you change the way that you act and the things that you say. In short, it's to be a yes man. Does that aptly describe John the Baptist? Well, recall the description of him from last week and the things that he said. He was preaching repentance, something that people don't generally like to hear. And then when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came around to witness his baptizing, he scolded them and called them a brood of vipers. That's just not something you say to someone who is the foremost of Jewish religious society. He even tells them to bear fruit worthy of repentance, and if they don't, they will burn in hell. That is not something that would win John any friends. I imagine many people would tell John, "Don't you have something more friendly to say, John? Maybe cut it out with the whole sin thing and just spread some love instead, man." I'm sure there were many who thought this way about John. But John did not let that affect him. And we know this because he would keep on doing it, preaching repentance. And in Matthew 14, we see that John would not even relent for King Herod himself. John called out Herod for taking his half-brother's wife for himself. And John would not relent, and he would be beheaded for it. John was no yes man. He was not a reed shaking in the wind. John was in the business of preaching law, preaching repentance. So, did the people come to see a reed shaken by the wind? No, they did not. Jesus asked the crowd again, "What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses." Those who wore soft clothing and resided in the house of kings were often messengers for these said kings. These messengers or courtiers were often clothed in fine linen and soft silk. It was very indicative of their steps, and in most cases, they were an extension of their master. If they were here among us, we might as well believe that they were their master. When you received one of these messengers, you treated them very well. So well that their master would have pity on you or look agreeably on you. Maybe you could call in a favor now and again. But what was John clothed with? Recall last week's lesson once again. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. John was a true wild man. He was this hermit who lived out in the wilderness, who lived off locusts and wild honey and only wore camel hair and a leather belt. Imagine this man. Imagine this wild man with a long, scruffy beard with bits of dried honey in it and locust legs in it. He was a wild man. And why is this important? This is important because John, who preached the forgiveness of sins, repentance, and was preparing the way of the Lord, was a messenger of God. And he was a messenger of God who could not be bought. Soft linens and purple sashes as a gift in order to win John in God's favor? No need. Camel hair and leather belts are more of John's style. The finest foods and wine for the servant of God? Forget it. Honey and locusts will do just fine. Come, stay in a soft bed, John, out of the wilderness, out of the cold. No thanks. The wilderness is where he will stay. This messenger of God that was John the Baptizer was a man on a mission. He represented the kingdom of heaven and the one who was to come. He would not allow creature comforts and familiarity with the world to get in the way of that. You could walk up to John and offer up all those things that we just mentioned to him to maybe earn a more agreeable message for yourself, maybe, you know, earn the forgiveness of sins, to be told, you know, man, you don't need to be baptized. I'll take this purple sash. Thanks. You know how he would respond to that? Look back again at last week's message one more time. When the Pharisees and Sadducees came to John, John told them to repent. And John knew that they would offer up their heritage with Abraham to him as some kind of justifying force, as some kind of way to say, you know, we don't need to worry about the impending doom and sins. We have Abraham as our father. Well, John says forget it, because God can raise up stones for Abraham. Their heritage, their wealth, their status and works mean nothing to John, and more importantly, mean nothing to God. John would shut down any notion that you can come up with any kind of work, gift, or presupposition and receive the grace of God. God and his messengers cannot be bought. So, the people, did they come to see a man in soft clothing? No, they did not. And we know that this is the case because Jesus asked one more time, "What then did you go out to see? A prophet?" You'd expect from asking the question a third time that the answer would be no once again. But Jesus confirms for us truth. Jesus confirms from these three questions that the people did not come out to the wilderness to see a reed shaken by the wind or a man in soft clothing. They came to see a prophet. And he confirms as such. Jesus says, "Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. John seemed to be a pretty big deal in the kingdom of heaven. And he has the distinct honor of being the greatest of the prophets. We may point to Moses and on Sinai and the giving of the law. We may point to Elijah. But no one prepared, he was the one who prepared the way of Christ, the way of the Lord. And he is the most closely related to Christ. And I don't mean as a distant relative, though that is what he is. I mean he, out of all the prophets, emulates to Christ, the life of Christ, better than anyone else. John announced the coming of the Messiah in his advent. He baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And he would die a martyr's death by being beheaded. Now look at Jesus. Jesus came and announced the advent of the kingdom of heaven. And he baptizes us in our baptisms. And Christ would die a true martyr's death on the cross. No one emulates the life of Christ so closely like John did. And that is what people came out to see. They came to see a prophet, the prophet that was spoken of by Malachi. They came to see the one who is the Elijah that would prepare the way of the Lord. They came out to see the prophet who preaches the full harshness of the law and the full sweetness of the gospel. They came to see the one who gives forgiveness of sins through baptism. John was great. Jesus says that there is none born of women that is greater than him. Yet he did not line up with the expectations of the people around him. He was not a yes man. He was not a leader in soft clothing or whatever else they expected of him. And we can say the same of Jesus. Jesus was not what people expected. Even today, people force their expectations of who Jesus is and who he should be on to him. They come out to the wilderness to see something different. And pivoting a little, I'd like us to look at the penitential nature of Advent and pose a question to all of us. What then did you come out to see? What brought you to church this morning? A reed shaken by the wind? A law that does not condemn and acquiesces to our sinful desires? A Jesus that is a yes man? No? What then did you come out to see? A man in soft clothing? A gospel that can be bought with works? A Jesus that can be persuaded to bless us if we do just enough for him? Jesus tells us no. The law, the truth of the matter is, the law is always going to crush us to pieces. And the gospel is always going to be free. So, what then did we come out to see? We've come to see a prophet. The greatest prophet. This prophet who preaches repentance and gives us the forgiveness of sins and baptism. This prophet that would die so that the kingdom of heaven can come to us. This prophet is Jesus Christ. The greater John. And like John, he is not going to change. He will still preach repentance and the law so that we mourn over our sins and cry out, Lord, have mercy upon us. And he will still preach forgiveness of sins and grant that to us in the sacraments of water and word, communion and absolution. And why is this unchanging nature so important? As we enter into 2026 and all the big changes that are going to be taking place in this church, we may begin to wonder, what exactly will we see? Will we see a reed shaken by the wind or a man in soft clothing? Is the law finally going to lighten up? Or is the gospel going to become compromised? Will I get to hear exactly what I want to hear? Dear Christian, take comfort. Take comfort in knowing that the word, the law, and the gospel is not going to change. That repentance shall still be proclaimed, and that forgiveness is freely given to all and to all abundantly. That we do not need to go anywhere else in the world to find it, or find it in someone else, and that Jesus only gives his gifts where he will be found. So let me ask again, what then did you come out to see? You've come to see the prophet, priest, and king, that is Jesus Christ. You've come to see him reveal himself in unexpected ways, in, with, and under the bread and wine that becomes his body and blood. You've come to see him here in this oasis that is in the wilderness of life. And he will not change. Though pastors come and go, and vicars come and go, and the world itself will come and go, and life changes, the word of the Lord endures forever. Christ will not change. So take comfort. That is who you've come out to see. You've come here because he is present with his word and with his gifts. In this wilderness of life, we often can be found looking for the gifts of God in all the wrong places or in the wrong people. The people of Jesus' time were drawn to John the Baptist in the wilderness, not because he was agreeable or he wore fine garments, but because of his message. And Jesus teaches us the same thing today, that we come to church, not because we hear what we want to hear or because of vanity, but because his word is present here. And it will always be present here, because Christ does not change. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
We continue page 192. We stand to sing the offertory. And as we do, please fill out the attendance pad at the end of the pews, fill out the sheet, tear it out, put it in the basket in the narthex. You may be seated for the offerings. prayer of the church, we stand to pray.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Lord, you are the source of all joy. In the wilderness of this life, we are glad in you and your appearance. Sustain us during this Advent season as we come to Christmas. So in these latter days, despite trials, we can endure the changes and chances of this mortal life because of the true hope of Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you continue to send your messenger to prepare the way of your Son's coming. Grant us ears and hearts to believe the words delivered by pastors, teachers, missionaries, and those who proclaim your holy word. Bless Trinity Lutheran Church as we serve you in 2026. Bless Pastor J.P. Sima and his wife Amy as they serve you in the Church of Cambodia. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you instituted our homes to be refuge for the world, a place where the Word of God gives us growth and safety. Look with favor upon the homes of our land. Grant that we, exhibiting true faith from one generation to the next, will live in our daily vocations and callings to the glory of your name. Bless Pastor Mark Gashler, Stephanie Olinger, Vanessa Dykus as they celebrate their baptism and birthday. Bless Joel and Caitlin Bacon as they celebrate their anniversary. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, give guidance to those entrusted with positions of leadership in government. Protect servicemen and women who defend us against the enemies of our nation and those who enact and enforce the laws that protect us. Bless Daniel, Gabe, Mike, Alex, Calvin, and Eli as they serve in the military, as we continue to pray for peace in the Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, and Syria. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, the prophet Isaiah looked for the day when the blind eyes would see, deaf ears would hear, lame legs would leap, and mute tongues would sing. Until the final day of our restoration, draw near to all who will require our prayers and request that we pray for them for mercy and gracious healing. Bless Leif Stratmoen, Stephanie Alicia, Eddie Morris and John Adjou, Cheryl Wade, Sally McNeil and Jay McConnell, Travis Faulkner and Brian Maluski, Johnny Eisenbrown and Lee Hagen, Amber Ward, Betty Tinney, Mike Knox, and Pastor Ted Werfelin. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you for your mercy shown to Larry Miller in his time here on earth, now that you've received him to yourself in heaven. Bless the family with the sure hope of joy in Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us, as you have given him the true gift of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, with great jubilation, we rejoice in your Son's visitation, in his body and blood, in the fellowship of this altar. In every circumstance of life, teach us the joy that comes from knowing your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and eagerly expecting his gracious visitation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Service of Sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
And salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, and ever full of thy
kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
of you in your baptism, I think any of Christ Jesus keep you in your baptism. drink the blood of Christ. Drink the blood of Christ. True body and blood of our Lord Jesus, strengthen you with the true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Take and eat the body of Christ, which is given for you.
The minutes, page 199, we stand to sing.
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.